you went through an extraordinary experience. Your book captures some of it. Obviously, it's imperfect in terms of how much it captures, because it's not a long book. It could have been 800 pages. I think it's 230-something of text, 234. So that recommends it to the average reader. And if you read it, you'll learn a lot about the bailouts and TARP and all that, which is useful. But you'll also learn a lot about Washington. And I'm curious what you learned about Washington. You don't reflect on it much in the book. It's kind of obvious that you got hit upside the head a few times and, you know, shocked, jarred, and beaten by the nature of Washington. But I'm curious what your reaction was and if it changed your view of government in any way.
It certainly did. I didn't realize how captured the interests captured by the interests of Wall Street Washington was, and how often it does not serve the American people as it does to the people who are funding the town through campaign contributions and through lobbying. And I mean, that seems like a pretty obvious thing that most people know and understand. But it was I think I was a true believer in 2008 of President Obama. And I really believed that everything would be different. And that this was, that he was an agent of change and that he would bring the type of meaningful change that to our government that we so desperately needed. And what I saw firsthand was, and perhaps the thing I learned the most was, just how little difference there was between the Republican administration and the Democratic administration. It's not that one was better or worse than the other. It's just they were remarkably the same. The same exact arguments. I think the tricks were a little dirtier with the Obama administration, but I don't think that's attributable to the political party. I think it was just that they had more time. Yeah. Had more time.
No,
with
they get
them
better
than
at it.
With the Republicans.
Well, they get better at it. They had to hone
time,
their
exactly.
skills.
So, but I think that was the thing I learned the most, is that it's not, you know, when you fall into these campaign ads and sort of believe that one side or the other is fighting for your interest, the reality is you can't listen to what they say. You got to listen to what they do. And what they do is, you know, there's remarkably little difference when it comes to these types of core issues that have become most important to me. So it's kind of a depressing thing. But I also did see on the optimistic side that there are people out there who care. There are some good civil servants, and there's members of Congress who really sacrificed their relationship with the White House in order to go to bat for us and try to give us the power to protect the taxpayer, even when they were undoubtedly getting calls from the White House chewing them out for being supportive of me and our agency. So I do think there are some glimmers of hope in that most hopeless of all institutions, Congress. And that's why I say, like, look, you know, there isn't really a presidential candidate to vote for who's going to do the types of real meaningful reform to our financial system. But there are members of Congress and people running for Congress who will. And to me, that's a good place to start.